Thank you. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we, who cannot exist without you, may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offsprings, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading from Psalm 33. We will read from Psalm 33 antiphonally by whole verse beginning on this side. Happy is the nation that worships you, O Most High. Happy the people you have chosen to be your own.
You look down from heaven and behold all the people in the world.
From where you sit enthroned, you turn your gaze on all who dwell on the earth.
You fashion all the hearts of them and understand all their works.
There is no ruler that can be saved by a mighty army. The strong man are not delivered by their great strength.
The horse is a vain hope for deliverance, for all its strength it cannot save.
But your eye, O God, is upon those who fear you, on those who wait upon your love.
To pluck their lives from death and to feed them in times of famine.
Our soul waits for you. You are our help and our shield.
Indeed, our heart rejoices in you, for in your holy name we put our trust.
And on us, as we have put our trust in you.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confess that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Jesus, the true bread. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. When I was a little kid, there was a movie I watched that taught me what faith was like, and it left a really big impression on me. There's a scene where the main protagonist, in his quest to find the Holy Grail, crosses a deep and perilous chasm by walking over a bridge that he cannot see. The scene depicts a literal walk of faith, whereby faith becomes the very thing enabling him to walk the path ahead and reach the very cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. If you're familiar with this scene, then you'll know it's from Steven Spielberg's 1989 film, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. On the surface, this film is your typical action-adventure movie. The main character is continuing his father's quest to find some ancient relic, making friends, and facing all manner of danger along the way. But under the surface, there's a theme that runs like a thread throughout the whole movie. That recurring theme is faith. Indiana's father, played by Sean Connery, has genuine faith in the divinity of the Grail. And this faith eventually becomes the foundation of a father-son endeavor to locate it. When his father is fatally wounded, Indiana instantly adopts a similar faith in the Grail's healing properties. Yes, he does so out of desperation to save his father, but it is his faith in the cup's power that compels him to navigate dangerous traps and obstacles before finally reaching the cup's resting place. All throughout, faith is what drives the narrative forward. After retrieving the Grail, this holiest of ancient treasures, and after using it to restore his father back to health, the earth suddenly breaks apart, and the cup falls into one of the cracks. But it's still within reach. Indiana endangers himself by stretching his arm into the abyss to retrieve it, but his father successfully convinces him to let it go. Had he saved the Grail, Indiana could have been the most famous archaeologist in the world. He could have had wealth beyond his imagination. But he realized that giving up this priceless and invaluable artifact allowed him to receive two treasures infinitely more valuable. Life, for one, of course, he doesn't fall into the abyss and die. The second treasure was of a father's enduring and unconditional love. These are two gifts Indy already had, but perhaps didn't appreciate. This image of surrender actually helps us to understand the faith that Paul describes in his letter to the Hebrews. Faith is believing in something you cannot see, but it is also letting go of everything the world tells you is most valuable. Faith doesn't just compel us to move forward. It informs how we move forward. It orients our hearts to the treasures that God promises us instead of those the world convinces us are valuable. Take Abraham, for instance. He left behind his homeland, his security, and everything that was familiar to him, trusting in a promise that he couldn't see. His steps were not guided by a map or a guarantee of earthly comfort, but by his confidence in the God who called him. Abraham's faith redefined his priorities and reshaped the course of his life. His faithful acceptance and pursuit of God's promises also sets into motion the birth of Israel, as well as the storyline for the entire rest of the Bible. So what does all of this have to do with us? First of all, God is the master storyteller. And his story of creation, of our humanity, of our redemption, is much bigger than anything that can be contained even in Scripture. God desires nothing more than for humanity to participate in this cosmic narrative, to play leading roles in the joining of all creation with the kingdom of heaven. And now, would anyone like to guess what drives this story of God's redemption? It's faith. Because faith drives us forward. Even when the path is uncertain, even when the path is dangerous or just plain terrible, faith enables us to focus on God's promises, and it gives us the strength to pursue them. This is the kind of faith I've seen embodied by the unhoused, not knowing where they will sleep or where their next meal will come from. Many of the people I meet on the street struggle to keep faith alive, especially when it comes to holding out hope for something that seems far off or in the long term. A spot in a homeless shelter, for example. A man I once met told me that he puts his faith in God, not that he'll eventually find housing, but simply that he will survive today, let alone a month or even a week. Despite his suffering, or maybe perhaps because of it, this man lived with his heart oriented toward what truly mattered, trusting in God's provision for the day at hand rather than becoming consumed by the uncertainties of tomorrow. Now, that kind of faith stands in stark contrast to the way many of us are conditioned to live. As Americans, we've been taught that with enough self-reliance, we can achieve all we put our minds to. But because of this mentality, our long-term goals begin to feel like guarantees. We begin to put our faith in the promises we make to ourselves. And if our mind is centered around the expectation of earthly treasures, then that's where our heart is also. Our hearts become so consumed by a desire for status, wealth, and power that we lose sight of what really matters, the treasures that cannot decay, the treasures promised by God, salvation, redemption, and everlasting life. Jesus tells us that these heavenly treasures are impervious to harm or decay, but perhaps most importantly, these promises aren't something that only exists in the future. Not worrying about the future might help us to appreciate how these gifts have already been secured for us. The salvation and redemption of all creation has already been accomplished in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. The question is, are we ready to receive what has already been placed in our hands. To receive it means being ready. Ready to release our grip on what the world values most. Being ready for the Son of Man also means living out our faith in Christ by loving our neighbors as ourselves. This sounds like hard work, and it is. But I have seen that kind of faith in action here at St. Martin's. This parish's history of community support, disaster relief, and social justice advocacy is a testament to the willingness to help make society look more and more like the kingdom of God. Not only am I mindful of St. Martin's generosity, but recently I've been overwhelmed by it. Your support of my campaign to fundraise for the San Francisco Night Ministry has helped me to achieve my goal of $3,000 in just a couple of weeks. Because of you, dedicated night ministers are able to serve on the streets and over the phone as their vocational ministry. Because of you, we're able to provide the unhoused with granola bars, water, and emergency blankets during our night walks. We're able to feed the large gatherings who attend Open Cathedral and our other outdoor liturgical services. We're able to buy and administer Narcan to those overdosing on fentanyl. Most importantly, because of you, we are able to walk alongside those who feel unseen, unheard, and unloved, and remind them that God sees them, hears them, and loves them. Your faith in Christ and his teachings has oriented your hearts towards the suffering of the marginalized, and I am grateful for the compassion and the steadfast love you have shown by joining the night ministry and walking alongside the poor and the oppressed, loving them as images of Christ Jesus. So friends, no matter where you find yourself in the unfolding narrative of your own life, remember that you are also part of a larger story that God is telling. The story of all creation being redeemed and brought into perfect communion with God the Father through God the Son. Our individual stories may seem small compared to what many have called the greatest story ever told, but they are each an essential thread in the tapestry of God's redemptive plan. Faith is what moves that story forward. Like with Abraham, faith enables us to step into the unknown with confidence in God's promises. And like with Indiana Jones, faith allows us to cross bridges we cannot see and to release our hold on what the world tells us we cannot live without. Freeing our hands to take hold of those heavenly treasures that endure forever. So step out in faith, trusting in the one who calls you forward, and you will find that the path beneath your feet has already been prepared for you. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation, and came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and the world.
God of mercy and compassion, on this solemn anniversary of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we remember the dead, we honor the survivors, and we lament the violence humanity has inflicted upon itself. Lord, in your mercy, guide us, all people in the way of peace. We pray for your church, that we may be united in truth, live in your love, and walk in your way. Strengthen all who serve in your name. Empower your church to be a voice for peace and a witness to justice. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this nation and all nations of the earth, for all elected officials, judges, and public servants. Give them wisdom and courage to seek justice, to reject the counsel of violence, and to turn from the false security of weapons and force. Lord, in your mercy. For the healing of your wounded world, scarred by war, nuclear violence, colonization, and greed, for places where people live under military occupation, and for lands poisoned by radiation and exploitation, and for peacemakers, mediators, and those who risk their lives to uphold human dignity. Lord, in your mercy. For all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, for the sick and the injured, the grieving and the weary, the displaced and the forgotten, especially those affected by war, climate disaster, and other forms of injustice. We especially pray for those on our parish prayer list. God of compassion,
bring
hope and strength. We remember before you all who have died, especially the victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and all whose lives have been taken by war, nuclear testing, or military occupation. We commend them to your eternal care. We give thanks for peacemakers and saints who have gone before us, especially Blessed Martin and all your saints, past, present, and yet to come. May light perpetual shine upon them.
And may their souls rest in peace. God of life, who raised Christ from the dead, raise us from the valley of despair. Disarm our hearts and our nations and plant in us the seeds of peace. Give us grace to remember rightly, to live humbly, and to work for the healing of the nations.
Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you. Good morning. You may be seated for the announcements. I was going to start by asking for a round of applause for Anthony. It's always so good to have Anthony with us. He is our seminarian. He will be starting his second year at Virginia Theological Seminary, but he still has a few weeks left with us and some more time doing his internship at the San Francisco Knight Ministry. As he mentioned, we've already raised the amount that he was hoping to raise, but you know what? It's one thing to reach a goal. It's wonderful to exceed a goal. So if you have not yet given to his this fundraising effort, there are ways in the yellow sheet that explain how to do that. And Anthony will be around after church to answer your questions as well. Right after this service, well, a little while after this service, sometime around 11:30 or so, some of us will be meeting in the parish hall for our last of several sessions discussing the book, The Service Berry. If you haven't come to that, but you want to learn a little bit more about what it's all about, you're welcome to come. We have handouts, and anybody can take part in that. The coffee hour is on the side of the parish hall in the shade. There's seating out there, but it's a little hot today, and it's going to get hotter, so if you need to be inside the parish hall, feel free to come in to have your coffee and treats and whatever. Also, in our yellow sheet, there are a couple of sort of internal notifications. We've had this email scam going around again. It's happening to a lot of churches where they pretend to be the pastor. It's not actually my email address if you look really closely, but it's a good close copy to confuse everybody. So when in doubt, if you see an email that seems strange, that's asking for you to send me money or anything like that, just ignore it and let the office know. There's also a notice in here about we're having reduced office hours this week because of a couple of vacation schedules that are ongoing. The other thing I wanted to draw your attention to is that even though summer is traditionally a time when we don't do a lot of Christian formation, we've kind of been bucking that trend this summer. Next week is a break, but then on the 24th, Ernie Lewis is going to be talking about the detention camp up at Tule Lake and some of his own experiences that helped him come to grips with what happened during that time in our country's history. And there's lots more information that we've been sending out about that because we're leading up to a pilgrimage on September 12th. So please do take a look at all of that and see if you would like to participate in any way. And then in September, these dates aren't in your bulletin yet, but we're going to be we'll let you know next week about kickoff Sunday and when classes are starting again for godly play and some things going on for the youth in our area and lots of great stuff. But next week, if you're here, it's the blessing of the backpacks. So if you are going back to school as a teacher, a student, a parent, an administrator, or if you have a new bag or an old bag that you want blessed, please plan to bring that to church so that we can bless that next week. I see our ushers in the back. They have goodie bags. That's for anybody who's new here, new-ish, who just wants some more information about us, who wants the chocolate that's at the bottom of the bags, but you have to raise your hand so that the ushers can see you and bring it around. I do see some new faces. So on the aisle here and over up front, keep your hands up until a goodie bag comes to you. Okay, we had one notice of when we asked for celebrations and milestones. Russ, offer that away. And on the other side too. When we asked for celebrations and milestones, we did have one really great one this morning, which is that Michael and Sheila Lewis are celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary. And they were both here at the 8 o'clock, which was very impressive. Are there others, anyone who has a celebration or milestone they want to share? Yes. 10 years since your ordination. Congratulations. Priesthood anniversary. Anyone else have something? Libba.
I have a big celebration that all my four children, their spouses, nine grandchildren, eight great grandchildren, including a girlfriend of one of the grandsons, have been together this weekend.
Oh. Wow. It's. Well, welcome. I hope you got a goodie bag. Okay. It is. That's a great celebration. We sometimes aren't sure, like, which celebrations and milestones we're supposed to share. In this case, it's a family reunion with 20 people back under one roof, which is fantastic. Whatever is important to you that we want to support you as a community, please feel free to send in an email with that information. It can be a birthday, an anniversary. Oh, yes, Grace. Oh, that is a huge thing, Grace. Thank you. That's perfect. Grace wants everyone to know that she has a baby brother coming in October. So, yeah. And we turn to page 5 in our bulletins to say together our celebrations and milestones prayer. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion on two sides, both sides of the altar rail today. We are splitting it up depending on how you like to receive communion, not based on where you're sitting. So you come forward down the center aisle and you go to your right if you want the communion bread and chalice separate. You come to your left if you would like the bread dipped or intincted into the wine and handed to you. So you have either of those options. You'll wait up front for an usher to tell you when it's time to go up to the altar rail. Our bread is all homemade, gluten-free, and vegan, so we try to make it as accessible to everyone as we can. You are welcome to receive communion regardless of age or denomination. If you feel called to come forward, please do. You can also come forward and cross your arms, indicating you would just like to receive a blessing. And of course, if you can't make it to the altar rail for any reason, just let an usher know and we will bring communion to you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Where your treasure is, there
The Creator be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Creator.
Let us give thanks to our loving God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Praise and thanks are yours, our creating God. From the dust of the earth, you shaped human beings in your own image, and you filled the earth and seas and skies with a myriad of wonders. Yet we consistently turn your generosity into our scarcity, your elegance into our meanness, and your simplicity into our corruption. Though we poison and destroy your good creation, you continue to offer us your abundance. In your mercy, you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus, transforming death into life. Through the Spirit, you continue to call us into covenant with you for the restoration of creation and the reconciliation of all people. And so we give you thanks, rejoicing with all creation as we join the saints and angels in their unending hymn. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks to God. He broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took the wine and gave thanks to God, Creator. He gave it to his friends, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for all creation for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink of the wine, do this in remembrance of me." So we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Merciful God, we come to this table seeking reconciliation with you, with one another, and with all creation. Through these mysteries, reconcile us to our world and empower us to restore your creation and fulfill your will. Send your life-giving Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine. Stir in us the creative and redeem the destructive. Heal your stricken world, that the soil, the skies, and the seas may be filled with your life anew. Fill every heart with the sure and certain hope that we shall enter into the fullness of your joy when your whole creation is justified by faith and sanctified by love, and you are all in all. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, everlasting God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, first in English, in Spanish, and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre.
Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad.
Tierra como en el cielo, danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Please rise as you are able for the post-communion prayer. And let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Deep peace, pure white of the moon to you. Deep peace, pure green of the grass to you. Deep peace, pure brown of the earth to you. Deep peace, pure gray of the dew to you. Deep peace, pure blue of the sky to you. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.